You're listening to KCIW 100.7 FM, broadcasting from Brookings, Oregon. I'm Lori Gallo-Stoddard in the KCIW newsroom, and this is a special report, COVID in Curry County. You're probably aware that Curry County has recently seen a huge increase in coronavirus cases. It's been designated as an extreme risk area in part because of a huge jump in patients just since Thanksgiving. You may recall Curry County announced the first confirmed COVID-19 cases way back in the beginning of April, and 8 months later there were just 105 confirmed cases of the virus here. But in the weeks between Thanksgiving and December 21st, we jumped to 254 official confirmed cases of COVID here in Curry County. And since a lot of people who do test positive for COVID have no symptoms, there are likely a lot of folks in the community who are spreading the disease without even knowing it. Add to that the misinformation being spread on social media by not only the public but also by elected officials, and it's understandable that many people here are wondering exactly who to believe and what the truth is when it comes to coronavirus here in Curry County.
There are intrinsic components of the definition of public health. One is that it be public.
That's Catherine Wiley. Wiley is a retired licensed nurse practitioner who spent her professional life serving in public health. Here in Curry County, she's worked at United Indian Health Services and served as both board member and chair of the Curry County Council on Women and Children. Wiley was also selected to represent the small counties of Oregon on the state's budget committee and spent years here as the chair of the South Curry Healthcare Alliance. But before that, Wiley had quite a career. She was the director of quality assurance for all of the federally funded Los Angeles County clinics. She also served as the director of 6 clinic facilities and was the member of multiple advisory boards, including the Los Angeles County Health Department and the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Advisory Board. So when it comes to patients and public health, Catherine Wiley is a respected subject matter expert. And she is an outspoken critic of what she sees as failed leadership on the part of our elected officials with regard to COVID-19.
My perception of many, quote, leaders is that businesses' money is more important than people's lives. And I think that that is totally incorrect because people's lives impact money as well. People want to talk about businesses that are closing, people who are being evicted, and so much of the hardships as far as unemployment, but they are not indicating what they are doing to pressure the powers that be to ameliorate those issues. And they could very well be alleviated significantly. The best finance people that I've been listening to are saying that actually we'd save money if, as far as a country and a government, if we provided more subsidies at this time, because we're heading for a terrible crash. On top of that, nobody is comparing the costs of all of these hospitalizations, all of these people out of work. We're talking hundreds of thousands. And, you know, if you look at what the costs are, I'd love to see what the cost was for Trump's hospitalization, including his helicopter flight to the hospital, because that's what's going to be required here in Curry County, because we don't have an ICU. We don't have a cardiac care unit. We don't have the specialists that are really needed if you want to save somebody's life.
Of course, the total cost of the pandemic, whether measured in lives or in dollars, isn't fully known yet, but it's likely to be significant here in Curry County. Even before COVID hit, commissioners were struggling to come up with ways to balance the county budget, and the pandemic isn't close to being over. Experts are telling us that life probably won't get back to normal until this time next year, maybe later. And in the meantime, there are going to be a lot of people hurting from the physical, emotional, and financial effects of the virus. And that's why Catherine Wiley says we should be thinking now about what we can do to alleviate some of that suffering that's sure to come.
I would be meeting with people, and again, even if it has to be remotely, with church leaders, with Pam at the food bank. Tell me what your problems are, what we need to fight for financially as far as food subsidy, as far as housing subsidy, and so forth. Let's find out what our needs are. Let's talk with the business people, whether it's the chambers of commerce or, motel, I don't care, with the mill. How many people have you really had that were impacted and how, so forth and so on? Because, we've got neighbors right up here, a husband and wife. He works at the plywood mill. She works at Gold Beach Lumber in Harbor. And both of them were home for weeks. If anybody thinks that doesn't have an impact on economics, they are sadly mistaken.
Of course, the economic, emotional, and physical toll of the coronavirus pandemic are yet to be seen. We're still in the middle of it. But there are decisions being made today that could affect Curry County and its residents in the months and years to come. In mid-December, the Brookings City Council voted to make it illegal to sleep in your car. Now, homeless advocates tell us that there are both unhoused individuals and families with children in the city of Brookings who have no choice but to live in their vehicles. And experts say that what Brookings Councilor decided by making that a crime could be devastating to those people. Now, there are 23,000 of us who live in Curry County, and 16% of Curry County's population is already living in poverty conditions. That adds up to thousands of people here who don't have enough right now. And it's going to get worse as more and more people lose their jobs. What's more, Curry County has just one hospital with just 16 beds. But because Curry County is poor, rural, and remote, it was among the first to receive federal and state money and equipment for COVID-19 response. In April, the Curry Health Network received just one of a handful of Abbott rapid testing units distributed around the country. Now, they can give a positive or negative result for the coronavirus in just minutes. But actually getting tested for the coronavirus has been a challenge here in Curry County. For one thing, even though Curry Health did receive that rapid testing unit, it didn't get a whole lot of test kits to use with it. So the tests that were received got rationed and prioritized, either for patients with multiple COVID symptoms or for first responders. Now, the Curry Health Network has done most of the COVID testing here in Curry County, and the tests are free. Curry Health tells KCIW that under current guidelines, all COVID tests are done without charge, but we're told if you do have insurance, your carrier will be billed. Now, you can't just show up and ask for a test, and Curry Health Network CEO Ginny Williams explained what the protocol is during a recent virtual town hall meeting.
So how to get a COVID-19 test? The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid require that all lab tests have a valid order from an ordering provider. Dr. Carlson has been gracious and has been serving as our provider by which we will screen individuals through the CurryHealthNetwork.com portal. There is a questionnaire that an individual can take. And if you have symptoms and you meet certain criteria, you'll automatically be contacted by our health network and scheduled an appointment for a drive-up COVID test. If, in fact, though, you're asymptomatic, it will require you to have a conversation through telehealth with one of our providers so that we can really understand the urgency. And we've seen individuals that have needed tests to travel out of the country and or to return to work. And those, unfortunately, are not eligible for the rapid test, but you still can get an order from those, provided that your provider believes that that's necessary. And you can call 541-412-2000. We are open Monday through Friday to schedule an appointment if you don't want to or can't have access to our online portal. But those are the various ways that an individual can get an order from a healthcare provider within our network. We do accept orders from outside providers. So if a provider from North Bend Medical Center or from Dr. Silver's office wishes, they too can place an order for an individual and they will be tested. Again, unless they fall into one of those other five categories, it will be through the drive-up testing that we are providing in both Gold Beach and down at UNC in Brookings, and those results will be back in 4 or 5 days.
But there are some people who don't need an appointment or a referral to be tested for COVID-19. The federal government requires residents and workers at nursing homes like Seaview and Good Sam here in Brookings Harbor to be tested at least once a month. But Catherine Wiley says it's not clear whether anyone is actually checking to see if those tests are even happening.
There's no one in the county that is ensuring that these organizations and agencies are complying with the federal authorities. They are required to submit their data to the federal government, who is paying for Medicare and Medicaid bills. Why don't they copy those reports for the county to ensure that this is happening?
We do know that there have been at least two outbreaks at the Seaview Assisted Living Facility, but there's concern a few miles south as well. Wiley wonders about what's going on inside the Pelican Bay Prison. A lot of Curry County residents work there, and there's been chatter in the community and on social media about COVID outbreaks at Pelican Bay. So KCIW reached out to Del Norte Public Health Director Dr. Warren Raywalt, who's in charge of those cases. Dr. Raywalt says there have been COVID cases reported at Pelican Bay, both among the employees and in prisoner population, but that so far, cases have been manageable.
Yeah, I don't know their current numbers. I know they've had sort of a steady number of cases. Kind of, it's an outbreak, but it's kind of a really slow outbreak in the sense that it's not, you know, just blossoming up and having hundreds and hundreds of inmates or staff at once. The prison is doing regular testing of the staff. They started having some inmates turn positive a couple months ago, so it's been going on for quite a long time. And you know, they're really working very hard out there to keep everything under control. But, you know, it's a prison environment, it's a congregate living. Those are the hardest kinds of settings to manage. So, yeah, it's almost inevitable that it's going to continue to go and continue to spread within the prison. As long as it's not spreading rapidly and as long as it's not impacting people who are really susceptible to the virus, you know, it's something that we can live with, certainly, and, you know, we have to one way or another. So, yeah, I mean, it is happening. It's been going on for quite a while, but it's very, very slow relative to some of the other outbreaks in other prisons around California. You know, probably everyone's familiar with the story about what happened at San Quentin. That was, you know, pretty extreme. What's going on at Pelican Bay is nothing like that. It's a very slow outbreak. And, you know, that's really the goal. We want to keep, if it's going to be moving through the prison, we want to move, have it move slowly, infect only a few people at a time, keep it manageable.
But with cases surging both in Del Norte and here in Curry County, you might be wondering, what happens if you end up testing positive for the virus? Well, you'll likely be asked to self-isolate, to quarantine at home. Curry Public Health Director Cherie Ward says her department follows Oregon Health's lead when it comes to COVID.
Okay, contact tracing happens immediately. So I believe in getting that information on the front end. So when we make that first phone call with a positive case, we ask in regards to the close prolonged contacts that they may have had prior to at least 48 hours prior to their symptoms or illness. And we're going based off the current OHA investigative guidelines as well. And then we enter that data, that information in, as well as as I stated prior to, our investigation only goes as far as an individual is willing to give us. So if an individual, and we ask them close prolonged contacts, kind of go through the investigation apart what that means. If they say, oh, well, no, I'll give you my wife's name, but I'm not going to give you anybody else's name. I, you know, encourage them to kind of work with us as much as possible. Then from that point, if they are willing to give us their contact name and telephone number, then we reach out to close prolonged contacts as well as an email address. And so we start pretty much starting about that point, if not 24 hours later, depending on the time of day that we receive a positive case. So if I receive a positive case, say at 8:00 at night, I start that right then and there. But unfortunately, if we're working on a case, and I will tell you, when contact tracing starts and the questions that we have to go through for investigation, sometimes I'm on a call from 20 minutes to 45 minutes. So if we get a positive case at 8:30 at night, 9:00 at night, we do want to encourage and we do ask and encourage individuals, if they have spoken or had close prolonged contacts, please notify them right away. Ask them to reach out to public health as well, the next business morning, and then we have staff that we delegate to, so we will have them reach out to those close prolonged contacts the next business day and start talking to them. So and then giving them notifications. So that's how that works. So it's pretty immediate.
But what happens if you get the coronavirus and you're too sick to isolate at home? Well, we only have 4 COVID-ready beds at Curry General Hospital, and that concerns retired healthcare professional Catherine Wiley. She has questions about staffing, especially since the Curry Health Network has been and continues to be plagued with financial issues.
We're supposed to have 4 beds at Curry General. Nobody has ever verified to the public that those beds are staffed. And who are they staffed by? And do they have pulmonary therapists? And do they have physicians who are pulmonologists? And I know they don't have a cardiologist because they let him go.
Wiley believes Curry County could have done more and should be doing more right now to educate people about the medical consequences of the coronavirus.
If people don't know and don't have the facts, are misled, or issues are ignored, it is not doing due diligence or justified information to the public. The best way that you can stop spreads of anything is to get the words out.
But right now, Curry County isn't getting the word out. A quick check shows one of the COVID resources pages on the county website hasn't been updated since April 1st. Information about who offers testing is difficult to find, and the confirmed positive cases from the county are often different than those reported by the state. And now, Curry Health Public Administrator Cherie Ward says her department won't be updating the public as cases of COVID are confirmed anymore. Instead, she says, look to the Oregon Health Authority for the latest information. Why? Ward says the time required to contact, trace, and follow up on cases has Curry Public Health employees working overtime. And she told folks at a recent virtual town hall meeting sponsored by the Curry Health Network, her department simply doesn't have the resources to keep the public informed on a daily basis.
I would love to be able to keep up with daily press releases. But we have to utilize our time management more efficiently for the community. And right now, the efficiency of our time is to get into that notification of the COVID-19 cases immediately and contact tracing. So that right there is our top priority, as well as the information has to be entered into data. It's not just So the information you're receiving from OHA is the information you're receiving from Curry Health Network or from Curry County Public Health. We have to enter the data in to the Oregon Health Authority database as we are contact tracing. And so that information, you are receiving that. If I were to stay up and be contact tracing, which we have, and I have, until 11 to 11:30 at night and trying to get a press release out, for that same data that is going to be pulled at 1201, I would love to be able to do that, but unfortunately with the restraints right now, we're not able to keep up with daily press releases.
So for right now, Curry Public Health says it will issue just 1 notification per week as it restructures the department and leave the daily updates to the Oregon Health Authority. Again, Public Health Administrator Cherie Ward.
We are actually, at this point in juncture, looking at our infrastructure. And our infrastructure for public health right now is, yes, we need to increase staffing. I can tell you that contact tracing through OHA as well as money, it's not sustainable. So we are going to do our best to try and facilitate that, work with the Board of Commissioners as well as trying to increase our staffing.
But even as the pandemic continues to surge, there is good news. Multiple coronavirus vaccines are coming to market and to the public. The first vaccines are reserved for healthcare workers, first responders, and residents and workers at facilities like Seaview and Good Sam. And that's because those are the folks who are at most risk. Curry Health CEO Jenny Williams says she's working on logistics here for distributing the corona vaccine.
When we were first hearing about vaccine distribution, we were understanding we're going to be the only ones administering it for everybody. But Oregon Health Authority has definitely restated that position that They want this to be something that's very easy for anybody who wants to be vaccinated, that you will be able to receive that in the normal course of business that you would receive any vaccine that you do today. So whether that's with Curry Health Network or through some other provider or a pharmacy, I believe those avenues Oregon Health Authority wants to make available to everybody.
And in Del Norte County, Public Health Officer Dr. Warren Raywalt says his department is also focused on preparing for mass inoculations and is coordinating with Sutter Coast Hospital and others. Now, there is a concern about the new Pfizer vaccine. Dr. Warren Raywalt says it's very tricky to ship because it needs to be kept very, very cold.
And right now, I mean, even as we speak, we're trying to coordinate that. And it's a bit of a challenge because we don't have the ultra-cold storage yet. So we have to figure out how to get the vaccine up here from cold storage, about 100 miles away, and then get it out to the people who want to vaccinate and before its shelf life has expired. This first vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine, is tricky because you have to keep it at such an extremely low temperature. And then once you take it out of cold temperature, it can only stay in a refrigerated state for 5 days. And then once you take it out of the refrigerator, you have to use it up. You have to use everything in that bottle or the bottles that you take out within 6 hours.
Oh.
So technically very challenging vaccine. We've never really seen anything like it. No one has. So
a challenging vaccine for a challenging virus in a very challenging time. We remind you again that the people who live here in Curry County are mostly older, poorer, and in worse health than folks in the rest of the country. So it's important for all of us to protect each other, especially now as we're seeing the surge in COVID cases everywhere. And that's why it's so important to stay home as much as possible, to keep a safe distance from others, to wash your hands often, and to always wear your mask in public. Because when it does come to the coronavirus, we really are all in this together. Thank you for joining us. KCIW News programming is made possible in part by a grant from the Meyer Memorial Trust and from listeners like you. Please consider supporting KCIW generously. KCIW is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so giving to us could give you a tax break. We are also an all-volunteer group, and you can find out more about who we are and what we do on our website. The address is kciw.org. KCIW.org is also where you'll find out how to get involved, whether you're a behind-the-scenes kind of person or someone who's always dreamed of having their own radio show. KCIW has something for you. And on the news side, KCIW News is always looking for volunteers, and we do offer reporter training. Again, you've been listening to KCIW, a news special report, COVID in Curry County. I'm Lori Gallo-Stoddard, and for all of us at KCIW News, thanks for joining us.